Hello, this is your Polycast for Wednesday, November 9th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, a big win for Donald Trump nationally has an impact down the ballot in Minnesota. If you want to see what happened to Hillary Clinton's hopes for the White House, take a look at Minnesota. It's been a reliably Democratic state for more than 40 years, but Clinton won it by less than 40,000 votes. And outside the Twin Cities, Clinton was well behind Donald Trump. Tim Nelson has a look at the numbers.
For Hillary Clinton, Minnesota was a tale of two states. In some places, like the 5th Congressional District, represented by Minneapolis DFLer Keith Ellison, Clinton won by more votes than Barack Obama in 2012. It was a big victory. Same thing in the western suburbs, where Republican Congressman Eric Paulson handily won re-election. Clinton won there. So, for the increasingly diverse and foreign-born population around Minnesota's biggest metro area, Clinton clearly resonated. Diane Nagel of Edina was shocked the nation went a different way.
I can't even believe it. I could go on and on and on, but I'm incredibly sad.
But outside of the Twin Cities, it was a very different story. Kathy Halverson was among the Republicans whooping it up at an election party in Nisswa as an expected victory slipped away from Hillary Clinton.
I'm so excited I'll be able to sleep tonight. Got our country back. She was just not a very truthful person, you know. Hopefully everybody will pull together and make our nation great again.
Democrats watched as Donald Trump had one of the best showings for Republicans since Richard Nixon's re-election bid in 1972. In some places, it was a serious reversal. Southern Minnesota went from a narrow Democratic victory 4 years ago to a rout by Donald Trump yesterday in Congressional District 1. That seat has been held by DFL incumbent Tim Walz for the past five elections, and apparently this one too. Clinton lost it by more than 50,000 votes, nearly 2-1. But the real disaster for Clinton? Northern Minnesota. She garnered almost 100,000 fewer votes than the last Democrat on the presidential ballot, down more than 10% compared to Obama. And in the 7th district, held by conservative DFLer Colin Peterson, it was even worse. Clinton didn't even get one vote in three from the Canadian border nearly to Iowa, west of the Twin Cities. The recent battle over steel, imports, and trade resonated there, according to Seth Wellnitz, a Mora businessman and chair of the Kanabec County Republicans.
I think Americans as a whole, and particularly in the 8th District, you know, we're tired of being pushed around. We're tired of our agriculture, our manufacturing, all of the things that made this district and this country great. Seeing it travel to China, to Japan, to Mexico, all these places, and we have our leaders that aren't stepping up to the plate.
Wellnitz had lots of company. Donald Trump got more votes overall than the last Republican running for president in Minnesota, although by less than 1,000 votes as of this morning. Trump did nearly double the margin of victory by which Republican Mitt Romney won in central Minnesota's 6th district. And even as DFLer Rick Nolan managed a narrow re-election to Congress, Trump triumphed across northeastern Minnesota, reversing a 5 percentage point victory for the Democrats in 2012 with a nearly 15 percentage point blowout. DFLers were simply shell-shocked.
Oh, man.
Karen Olson is from Crosby.
I think it means a whole destruction of a lot of things, like how far we've come with foreign policy in the last 8 years. He's a loose cannon, so we can't get on board with whatever it is because we don't know what he is.
But Minnesota, like the rest of the country, is going to start finding out in about 10 weeks. With reporting from Dan Crocker, Brian Baxt, and Mark Sedeklik, I'm Tim Nelson, Minnesota Public Radio News.
All of Minnesota's incumbent members of Congress have won re-election, and a new Republican face will join the party's majority in the U.S. House. Republican incumbent Eric Paulson retained his seat in an expensive 3rd District race. Republican Jason Lewis is that new face. He scored something of an upset in the 2nd District to keep that open seat for the Republicans. And in a very close race that almost no one saw coming, Democrat Tim Walz narrowly escaped in the 1st District. Our Brian Bax talked with Kathy Werzer this morning. Kathy asked Brian what happened in that Walz race.
Well, he hung on in a rematch with Republican Jim Hagedorn to gain his sixth term. But oh my, was it close. Walz won by about 2,500 votes out of about 335,000 cast. And why is that surprising? Well, his challenger spent less than a fourth of the more than $1.2 million that Walz did. And no independent expenditures by parties or groups came into the Southern Minnesota race, as far as we can tell. Walz scored an even larger win 2 years ago in a year that was also awful for Democrats. The close outcome probably had something to do with those Donald Trump voters who came out for him big in the first district. And many stuck around to cast votes for Hagedorn, too.
I see that Tim Walz tweeted out a statement saying that he was humbled and there's some healing to do in the days ahead.
That's right. And you can bet that he won't be caught off guard next time if he runs for another term.
Now, on to the second congressional district. Angie Craig, DFLer, seemed to have the upper hand going into that contest, at least according to polls. What happened there?
Well, this was one of those races where outside money flowed in heavily, making it at least a $10 million race in the end, maybe more. Craig had been a promising recruit for Democrats in a district that they had seen as been moving in their direction, especially with the retirement of longtime Republican incumbent John Klein. And they drew the challenger they wanted most, former conservative radio show host Jason Lewis. Democrats had pummeled him with ads that aimed to turn him into a Minnesota Trump. But here's the problem. Trump handily won the district, covering suburbs south of St. Paul and cities like Red Wing and Northfield. And those Trump coattails, they could have helped pull an underfunded Lewis across the finish line. Now, we should note that Craig hadn't conceded as of early this morning because she was waiting on some late Dakota County results. But the AP did call the race around 3 a.m.
All right. Now, in the end, did Eric Paulson end up having the least to worry about last night in the third?
That's right. Paulson had faced his toughest race since winning the seat in 2008, and his challenge had come from DFL State Senator Terry Bonoff. This was a race that had revolved around Trump in a different way. Democrats had tried to put Paulson on the spot over the Republican presidential nominee, who wound up losing the third by 10 points. But Paulson effectively separated from Trump and played up his ability to work through gridlock in Washington on things like combating sex trafficking and preventing a medical device tax.
Now, there was a traditional victory and concession speech in the third congressional race. And for people who didn't hear it, what was said?
Well, Bonoff told her supporters in Bloomington that she was proud of the race she ran, but she said it was the responsibility of everyone to come together, and she would do so. And Paulson says that Bonoff was a tough competitor, but he wasn't about to be outworked in the race. He says that once he gets back to Washington, he'll work to change the federal health care law, which in Republican parlance is repealing and replacing Obamacare. But he says it's clear that voters will expect results out of Congress and their new president.
Say, any surprise in the 7th Congressional District, Brian, where a longtime incumbent DFLer Colin Peterson found himself in, a much tighter race than he first thought? Colin Peterson beat Dave Hughes 52% to 47% with about 16,000
votes. That was another one where it was a single-digit race and a race where the Republican really hadn't spent much money and hadn't had much help from the outside. So Colin Peterson, who has bucked the winds of many elections, did well in a district that Donald Trump just wiped the floor with.
We should mention Time member Keith Ellison and Betty McCollum kept their seats in Congress. Brian, go get some sleep right now.
Hey, thanks, Kathy.
That's Brian Bax talking with Kathy Werzer. In northeastern Minnesota, DFL Congressman Rick Nolan survived the Donald Trump wave to eke out a narrow victory in the state's 8th congressional district. Nolan won in a bitterly fought rematch from 2 years ago with businessman Stuart Mills. Dan Crocker has the story.
Nolan has maintained all along the race was going to be close. Turns out this contest, with only about 2,000 votes separating the candidates out of more than 350,000 cast, was even closer than 2 years ago, when Nolan won by fewer than 2 percentage points. Nolan went to bed after midnight, but before the race was called in his favor. Earlier in the evening, he urged supporters in Baxter to keep the faith.
We developed a remarkable record of effectiveness and accomplishment for Minnesota's 8th congressional district, and that carries some weight with it.
Nolan managed to win a district that voted overwhelmingly for Donald Trump. Trump carried the 8th by 15 points, more than 50,000 votes. That's something Republican Stuart Mills acknowledged when he spoke to reporters in Nisswa just before 3 a.m.
Our part of Minnesota is becoming much more Republican than it is Democrat. And just because I didn't win this election, although we came very, very close, just because we didn't win doesn't mean that this part of Minnesota isn't on the march to Republican and conservative territory.
Mills wasn't quite ready to officially concede, although he acknowledged he'd likely be calling Nolan this morning to congratulate him. Mills said Nolan, who previously served in Congress in the 1970s, is a very skilled politician.
He knows what he's doing. He is one tough customer. So, no, I have a lot of respect for him as a politician, but on the policy side, I disagree with him completely.
Mills didn't rule out a third run for Congress, saying, quote, "I'm never shutting the door on anything." Minnesota's 8th District sprawls from the northern Twin Cities suburbs along the eastern part of the state all the way to the Canadian border. It includes Duluth, the Iron Range, and the Brainerd Lakes area. It was one of the most hotly contested and expensive congressional races in the country. Together, the two sides spent more than $20 million, much of it to fund an onslaught of negative TV ads. Nolan's tight victory means he will now be a member of the opposition party in Washington.
Republicans are going to control the presidency. They're going to control the House of Representatives. They're going to control the Senate of the United States. And they will be responsible for the next 4 years in this country.
Nolan predicted difficult times ahead and said financial markets shared his concern about a Trump presidency.
I don't think I'm being partisan at all when I say from everything I've heard, he's been on just about every side of every issue at one point or another over the last several years. So I'm not sure any of us know exactly what to expect.
Nolan will meet with reporters later this morning in Baxter. With reporting from Mark Zedeklik, I'm Dan Crocker, Minnesota Public Radio News, Nisswa.
Republicans also scored big gains in the Minnesota legislature, adding to their majority in the state house and appearing to win back the Senate for the first time since 2012. It was an especially stinging setback for Democrats, who have traditionally grown their legislative numbers in presidential years. Tim Pugmire has the story.
Some of the final numbers were still coming together when House Speaker Kurt Dowd took the stage at the Republican Party of Minnesota election night party in Bloomington. But Dowd confidently declared victory and proudly pointed out that it was the first successful defense of a Republican House majority in 12 years.
This will be the largest House majority in modern history after a presidential election.
Dowd said Donald Trump's performance in Minnesota might have helped some GOP House candidates, but he emphasized other factors, including skyrocketing health care costs and the need for political balance in St. Paul. Dowd said Governor Mark Dayton's wish for an all-DFL legislature for his final 2 years in office did not go over well with voters.
And that's what he asked Minnesotans for. That's really what this election was a referendum on. It was a referendum on his agenda and the fact that he wanted complete control of state government. And Minnesotans soundly rejected that tonight.
One of the seats that House Republicans gained is in Edina, where they defeated DFL incumbent Ron Ehrhardt. The veteran lawmaker has served 11 non-consecutive terms. Ehrhardt blamed the loss on negative campaign ads and the mood of voters.
This is a crazy the whole country is in such a turmoil. It's incredible. I mean, I think there are a lot of angry people around, I guess.
Republicans also defeated DFL incumbents Tom Anzels, John Purcell, and Barb Yaruso. On the GOP side, incumbent Chad Anderson lost. Republican Representative Tim Miller of Prinzburg won re-election in a rematch with the DFL incumbent he beat 2 years ago. Miller said health care was a big issue.
The individual plans are a big problem. In Minnesota, it's only 5% of the health care plans, but in greater Minnesota, it's the far majority of them. And we need to address that. And I think the people were saying Minsure and the whole package of the Affordable Care Act is not working, and we need to make changes.
In the Minnesota Senate, Republicans won the majority by picking up open seats and knocking off incumbents. One of the new GOP senators is Paul Anderson, who narrowly won the suburban seat in Minnetonka and Plymouth that DFLer Terry Bonoff gave up to run for Congress.
A lot of work went into this by both candidates, by myself and Deb Calvert, and I believe in the end, you're looking at a margin of 201 votes, and it just goes to show that you know, pounding the pavement, getting in front of as many voters as possible pays off.
The defeated Senate Democrats included Kevin Dole, Vicki Jensen, Tom Saxhog, Rod Skoy, and Matt Schmidt. The Senate Republican gains came at an unusual price, the loss of their caucus leader. Senate Minority Leader David Hand lost re-election to the Eden Prairie seat he's held for four terms. Hand declined to talk about the results. But Republican Senator David Osmeck of Mound, who comfortably won his re-election bid, said Hand's defeat was unfortunate. Osmeck said he's confident that his caucus will find a good new leader.
There's a lot of current chairs or ranking members on committees that certainly could step up. It's a matter of we're going to have to find someone. David Hand has done an exceptional job. My only hope is that the next leader can fill his shoes as exceptionally well as he performed.
Osmeck speculated that he might be in line for a committee chairmanship. He's currently the ranking Republican on the Senate's Energy and Environment panel. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
What an election day it was. Well, that's your Polycast for this Wednesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.